From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is expounding the meaning of the sixth commandment, Thou shalt not kill. In the course of the message, he has defined kill as murder, and emphasized that God forbids disregard for all human life. The command is for the protection and preservation of human life, except in certain circumstances like capital punishment, self-defense, or war. In the final portion of this message, Dr. Cairns will show that these truths extend beyond the body and this world to the soul and the world to come. Those who teach false doctrine and those who live in sin commit murder of the soul just as surely as the assassin murders his victim. Dr. Cairns will conclude the message shortly. Before he comes, here's a brief selection from C.H. Spurgeon's devotional thoughts called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Always Hears. The text is found in Micah chapter 7 and verse 7. My God will hear me. Friends may be unfaithful, but the Lord will not turn away from the gracious soul. On the contrary, He will hear all its desires. The prophet says, Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Oh, this is a wretched state of affairs. But even in such a case, the best friend remains true, and we may tell him all our grief. Our wisdom is to look unto the Lord, and not to quarrel with men or women. If our loving appeals are disregarded by our relatives, let us wait upon the God of our salvation, for He will hear us. He will hear us all the more because of the unkindness and oppression of others. And we shall soon have reason to cry, Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Because God is the living God, He can hear. Because He is a loving God, He will hear. Because He is our covenant God, He has bound Himself to hear us. If we can each one speak of Him as my God, we may with absolute certainty say, My God will hear me. Come then, O bleeding heart, and let thy sorrows tell themselves out to the Lord thy God. I will bow the knee in secret, and inwardly whisper, My God will hear me.
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
How many a self-righteous sinner is there who will say, I have never committed homicide or feticide or suicide. I'm not guilty of living in bitterness and hatred, and I'm not recklessly negligent and endangering the lives of others. And yet you stand with the stain of the blood of Christ upon your heart and upon your hand. Thou shalt not kill. That's the command. Can I say that this command calls for the protection and the preservation of human life by every lawful means? Now, normally that's very clear and plain, and we have no difficulty identifying our duty. But there are cases of special difficulty. I've mentioned abortion. The Roman Catholic Church says in every case, abortion is wrong. The Protestant Church has always said, in almost every case, abortion is wrong. Protestant theology has never accepted the Roman Catholic view that in the very few cases where the choice must be made between the life of the child and the life of the mother, that it is the life of the child that must be preserved. Romanism teaches that because it believes in baptismal regeneration, and it wants that child to be born so as to be baptized and fitted for heaven. Protestantism disbelieves all that hocus pocus and does not believe that Rome's theories are right there. It believes that where there is the unavoidable death of one or other, that at least the mother may be saved without breaking the sixth commandment. That's a harrowing position for any mother to be in. I have known mothers who have said, when it seemed it was going to be that way, I will take that chance, and if I die, I die. And I have to admire that courage. But there are those few cases where even at the time or coming up to the time of birth, choice must be made. I remember one such choice in Northern Ireland when they came to that. And the doctor came to the husband and he said, I can't see them both. I cannot deliver two lives to you. There is going to be a death here. And it's one or the other. And you tell me which. That husband was distraught. He didn't want to lose a child. But when he looked at his other four children, he didn't want to lose a wife and mother. Protestantism does not say, nor does the Bible, that he sinned in telling that doctor, save the life of my wife and my children's mother. You take the case of euthanasia. It's wrong. Those of you who were at our Tuesday night classes when Bill Pinkston was doing some of the ethical questions that we face with the progress of modern science will know that the very easy answers some people give are certainly not answers at all. Euthanasia is wrong, but is there a difference between taking life and allowing it to succumb to the natural processes without invasive procedures? Those are difficult decisions. We ought to at least have some understanding of some of the problems people face when they're in them. But those difficulties must never, this is the important thing, and this is why we had our Tuesday night classes with Bill. These difficult cases must never be allowed to form national policy or church dogma. It's an old saying in politics that hard cases make bad laws. And if you make a law framed around the exceptionally difficult case, you're going to open Pandora's box for every sort of evil. Because the central duty of the text is very clear. You preserve and you protect life. John Calvin put it beautifully. I don't think anybody has ever put it better. He says, since the Lord has bound the whole human race by a kind of unity, the safety of all ought to be considered as entrusted to each. I think that puts it as well as any. The safety of all is entrusted to each. In general, therefore, all violence and all injustice and every kind of harm from which our neighbor's body suffers is prohibited. Accordingly, we are required faithfully to do what lies within us to defend the life of our neighbor, promote whatever tends to his tranquility, to be vigilant in warding off harm, and when danger comes, to assist in removing it. He says, man is both the image of God and our flesh. Wherefore, if we would not violate the image of God, we must hold the person of man sacred. And if we would not divest ourselves of humanity, we must cherish our own flesh. Let me say the final thing then, that this sixth commandment not only forbids a disregard for human life and condemns every murderous action and thought, it not only calls for the protection and preservation of human life by every lawful means, but it requires that we acknowledge these truths as much in regard to the next world as to this world. Every crime against the life is a crime against the soul. In the Hebrew and Greek scriptures, life and soul are one word. Every crime against the soul is a crime against the life. Life and soul cannot be separated. So, if it's murder to take our own life or someone else's life, it is surely murder to kill our own soul or someone else's soul. Indeed, according to Luke 12, verses 4 and 5, the Lord Jesus clearly teaches that the soul and its eternal destiny is of much more importance than the life and its temporal existence in this world. To commit ourselves or others to the second death is certainly much more serious than bringing them to the first death. Now that's a big statement. The person who by false doctrine, we were reading of the Pharisees who had false doctrine and taught men so, the person who by false doctrine or evil influence leads souls to hell is a murderer of the worst sort. Writing in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, Peter speaks of false prophets who bring in damnable heresies or heresies of perdition or ruination. Apostates ruin souls. They are those false shepherds of whom Ezekiel spoke. They are those false watchmen whom he warned in the 33rd chapter. And he says, I will require the blood of these souls at your hands. So apostates are murderers of the worst kind. So though the president and the press embrace the Pope as a man of peace, because of his hellish doctrine, he is a mass killer in the sight of God. And that's true of your Protestant apostates as well, denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Galatians 1 visits upon the head of every preacher of every false gospel the anathema of God and condemns them to hell, because they murder souls. The man who lives in sin murders his own soul. You're here tonight, you live for the world and the flesh and sin. You're committing spiritual suicide. James 1:15 says, lust when it hath conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. The man who rejects Christ murders his own soul. I've often thought of those words of Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13 and verse 46, they spoke to the Jews. They said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You put Christ from you and you judge yourself worthy of death, not life. The Lord has made a way for dying souls to live. I am the life, said Jesus. The gift of God is eternal life, said Paul. The gospel invites you to receive the gift of life. The sixth commandment commands you and obligates you to receive it. I finish tonight with the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Thou shalt not kill. Thus the Lord commands us to do everything scripturally possible to protect and preserve our own and our neighbor's life on earth, and to lay hold on eternal life, as Paul puts it in 1 Timothy 6. Lay hold on eternal life purchased by Christ and freely offered in the gospel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. In just a moment, the meeting will be over. Let me ask you tonight, if you're not guilty of breaking the sixth commandment in two of the most awful ways possible, are you guilty of the blood of Christ? And are you guilty of the murder of your own soul by rejecting him? Lay hold on eternal life. Don't leave this meeting without Christ. Lay hold of him. He's freely available to every sinner who will have him. May God grant you grace to make sure you're saved tonight. I'm here as your servant for Christ's sake. If you're not a Christian and you would like to talk to me, I invite you to remain as the others leave and come, let's open the Bible together, and I'll be happy to take the time to point you to Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.